Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given iman, belief, and the reward that Allah ta'ala has given to insan, to the human being, along with the gift of iman, is in the form of deeds, of amalu salihat, of good and righteous deeds. This is not a burden. Can a person who has no belief dare to prostrate in his whole life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does he or she know that what is the taste, enjoyment, satisfaction acquired from sajda prostration? A person who disbelieves, what does he know? Allahu Akbar, what is the value of going around the Kaaba in tawaf? A person who disbelieves, what does he or she know? What is the taste and beauty and satisfaction acquired from reciting the kalimats of dhikr Allah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, etc.? And what does a person who doesn't believe know about the taste of reciting and also of praying to Allah in tahajjud, the enjoyment and the taste of calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My brothers, all of this ibadah that we do, this is not a punishment for the believers. Rather, this is a gift to the people of iman, the people who have iman. This is a gift, a great gift, and other people are lost. They are not with this gift. They don't have this. They are in loss. The Quran's recitation, subhanallah. Do you know the taste and the enjoyment and satisfaction a believer acquires when a person recites the Quran and the tears flow down on the cheeks? Why does a person start to cry when he reads the tilawat and the kalam of Allah? The people who don't have the belief do not have this understanding. So is this not a gift for us? Is this not karam and mercy of Allah upon us? Is this not Allah Ta'ala's favor upon us? So brothers, all of this ibadat that we do, this is the ahsan of Allah. This is the favor of Allah. Yes, this is Allah Ta'ala's favor upon us. And this is with Allah Ta'ala's mercy and karam that He gave us iman. And Allah said, fine, I won't leave you empty handed. I will give you a gift. All of the ibadat that we perform, all of them are great and enjoyable and high in status. But the unique form of ibadah is salah, or we say namaz. Namaz or salah or prayer is a unique ibadah. It is separate in rank and status and power. All ibadat and worship that we perform, everything was revealed on this earth through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the gift of salah was given to the mu'mineen via Rasulullah sallam, but in the heavens. And this was given as a gift to Allah Ta'ala's Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what a gift it was, what an account it was, that two Nabis were discussing with each other, coming and going, and the salah was given, then it was decreased, then coming and going. And Allah Ta'ala says that in the form of faraid, compulsory deeds, Allah Ta'ala has given us fasting and zakat and hajj, etc. But the ibadah, the physical form of prayer, is such a deed that when a person stands for salah and stands in prayer, then he has all of the enjoyment of all of the ibadat which are included in the action of salah at that time. Look, for example, you pray salah and you have to stand and go through the postures. Yes? And you get the enjoyment of hajj at the same time, because you have a niyyah at that time that your face is facing the Kaaba, is facing the house of Allah. So in reality, when you hand yourself over to Allah, then your ruh, your spirit and soul is doing tawaf of the Kaaba, because you have handed over, you've bestowed yourself, you've assigned yourself. You say, Allah, I stand facing your Kaaba, your home, I disassociate myself, detach myself from the world. You raise your hands, you say, that's it. Everything is shunned behind, the ears, the head, the body. And you say, Allah, I leave everything behind and I focus now on you, my Lord, my Creator. The Kaaba is not a rock, it is not a stone building, and it's not a brick building, a cube. This is that structure upon which Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat, Allah Ta'ala's mercies rain down. So a person, when he stands to pray, the enjoyment of hajj, he also acquires and feels. So salah starts, you cannot eat, you cannot drink during salah, you cannot do anything else. Somebody prays for half an hour, an hour. Some people stand for the whole night. Alhamdulillah. So eating and drinking, everything finishes. So you get the enjoyment of fasting at the same time. Allahu Akbar. So you get the enjoyment. And you get the hajj taste, I've already explained. You get the fasting taste as well. And the enjoyment of fasting and hajj at the time of prayer. And then you got zakat. Durood Sharif, when you recite this Durood Sharif, this is zakat for you, for your body. So this is completing your salah. This is completing all of those deeds that I've just mentioned within the worship of salah. So this is a collective, a collection of ibadat. Allah Ta'ala has given us salah. Subhanallah, may we be sacrificed, alhamdulillah. Such a great deen Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Everything we enjoy during the salah, we have du'as, we have prayers, we have recitation of Quran, we have the dhikr of Allah. What a collection of deeds, such a gift Allah Ta'ala has given to us, such a beautiful, unique action. And a person, when he prays, he's standing, then suddenly he goes into ruku, he goes into the bowing position, then he's enjoying the position, and Allah Ta'ala says, you can do ruku as long as you want. Then you get up from ruku, then suddenly you go down onto the earth and you rub your forehead onto the ground. The king of kings, the president, the king of lands, the kings of different countries, in front of whom many people bow. But soon as he comes into salah, everything finishes and he himself bows and prostrates to the supreme creator. And he has no feeling and understanding what he was or what he is or what a leader is. You see people who come and go to Hajj, everyone standing in one row. Nobody knows who is somebody else. Everyone's doing sajda on the earth. Everyone's bowing in Allah Ta'ala's court, in Allah Ta'ala's home. And everybody has an emotion and has a feeling. And Allah Ta'ala says that all the ministerships, the prime ministerships, all of the leadership positions, they all get extracted at that time. My brothers, this is a great deed, great ibadah, salah. You will have heard and seen and read in the fadail about salah, how great and high rank status a deed is. Salah is the greatest deed. That, you know, the hair that we have on our head, for example, if you take off the cut off the neck of a person, what has he got left in the body? Nothing. A headless body has no value. So salah, the link of salah with Islam, the deen of Islam, is just like the head and the body. If you detach the head from the body, there's no life left. Soulless. In the same way you take salah out of your life, you have no soul and no life in your deen. As Ali Karamallahu Wajh radiallahu anhu said, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was departing in his final moments from this world, his final advice was about salah. Rasulullah said, be careful about your salah. Be careful about your salah. And in some narrations it stated that Rasulullah's blessed lips were quivering and you couldn't hear anything, but he was saying about salah. He was telling us about salah. What was the benefit for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time? None. But he knew that these people who are in my ummah, they don't realize that such a great gift I'm leaving behind for them. Such a great gift that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us. That time and time again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not leave this practice. Do not disregard this practice. Because if you don't pray salah, then you are like that body without the head. You have nothing to your name. You have nothing to your hereafter. You won't get success in this world, you won't get success in the hereafter. At that time, at the time of death, departing the world, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not leave salah. Brothers, a great deed, a great gift Allah Ta'ala has given to us, a great action Allah Ta'ala has given to us, a great treasure Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Now let's look, let's think, let's ponder a bit more here. There's such a great deed, such a great form of worship, and how do we establish our salah? How do we complete our salah? How do we pray our salah? How do we make the schedule for salah? If we see today, may Allah Ta'ala forgive us, guidance, there will be a group of people within the ummah. Allah is great, Allahu Akbar. Such a great deed that I just summarized to you, the fadail, the virtues, the blessedness and the importance of salah, what is said in the kitabs. But there's a group of the people in the ummah who are totally at loss. They don't even know what is salah. Allahu Akbar. They don't know about salah at the fajr time, salah at dhuhr time or asr time. They have no knowledge of what is salah. Dunya, world, dawlat, wealth. If you talk to them about salah, they say, oh, Mulana sahab, what are you talking about? Leave this chat. Don't tell me about salah. These things happen, my brothers. I'm telling you, if you stand to pray salah, people start mocking you, laughing, just think, oh, look at him, Mulana sahab. Why are you praying salah? Oh, forget this. Let's go and watch the TV. Please leave this room. Why are you disturbing us? Where's this Mulana sahab come from? Where's this person come from? This person who doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just disturbing our routine and our enjoyment and our lust. Astaghfirullah. This is the situation in homes. In homes, we have this situation. The deed of salah is so great and important. Imagine the value of one salah. Imagine the value of all of the salah in our life. how close this ibadah must be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Habib of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And despite we don't pray salah, we think there's comfort and luxury and important in school, college and studies. If our son or daughter doesn't go to school, is absent from school, bunks off school for example, we say, then it is like it's the day of judgment for us, the day of Qiyamah. Why didn't you go to school? You beat the child. Why didn't you go? Why didn't you study? And you make the child's life impossible. He can't even breathe. Why didn't you go to school? Why didn't you study? I'm not saying it's not important. It's essential. It's important. You have to go to school. But look at the opposite here. If our child doesn't pray salah, he's young, they're mature, they're adolescent. The daughter doesn't pray, the son doesn't pray. No care, no worry. We're not even angry. We're not even displeased. Not even, not even a question mark in front of the son or the daughter. And that salah, which is the basis of success in this world and thereafter, we have no issues, no worries. But the thing that doesn't have no real loss. Today we say, oh, there's such a big loss. My son didn't go to school, daughter didn't go to college. They're going to fail. Are they going to pass the exams? A-level exams are coming in May. They're going to fail. What's going to happen? And today, if tomorrow the child fails, there's total destruction and loss. There's people who are mourning for days and crying. But here, when you don't pray salah, that child or individual is failing in this world and the hereafter. Amazing. We have no feeling of remorse, regret. Can a person like this who doesn't pray have an association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can a person who doesn't pray be hopeful of Allah ta'ala's mercy? From which mouth can we be presented in front of Allah ta'ala? With which mouth and hope can we be presented and say Allah's mercy, it is incumbent upon us? A person, at least he should say, if he doesn't pray, at least she should say, they should cry in regret and have pain and remorse and that. According to the age, okay, if you're old and you're decrepit and you're hobbling on the stick and maybe you don't have the energy, at least go towards the action. At least of the pain and the rejection and the dislike in your heart that you're not praying, that what kind of person am I? What kind of people are these who don't pray? Your heart at least should feel the negativity. If you don't have this, then on what basis is your iman intact? When we see such a big loss, we're not praying. One loss of the world, my friends, is nothing. If you take a salah, you don't pray. It's like your house, your children, your family, your wealth, everything's destroyed. If we don't pray. So these words I'm saying, this is not a story, this is not some tale, this is not some country tale, this is not some jackanory. If Allah Ta'ala sent us to this world and He's given us deen, should we not have fikr? Should we not have worry? Okay, I'm on the deen, I'm practicing, fine. What about my brothers who are burning in hellfire? The shaitan has shackled them with the chains. I'll be asked, you will be asked, that at least you could have given them da'wah, at least you could have told them, did you remind them about salah? Did you collectively bring them together and explain to them? Oh no, I'm praying salah, I'm going to the masjid. And your uncles, your aunties, and your nephews, and your nieces, and your friends who love you, what about them? Who's going to tell them? Does it ever happen? Don't take badly when I'm saying your guests are here. Oh, I'm going now. Where are you going? I'm going to pray salah. But you don't tell that person because he might feel bad. Is this not the case? Oh, he'll feel bad. Oh, because they've come to ask for the hand of my daughter as a bride, and I don't want them to feel bad that I tell them to go to salah with me, so I'll go on my own and leave them here, the guests at home. You forgot that the rejection and the acceptance of the proposal for your daughter or son for their marriage is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes from the heavens. But take the person for salah, inshallah, the rishta, the proposal will have barakah. If you stand that person in front of Allah, then you are successful. You attain everything. But no. If I tell this brother to pray, sister pray, or my uncle, or my this relative or cousin, they'll become displeased with me, angry with me. Oh, no, my brothers, do not think like this. I'm speaking, you are listening. So the meaning of this doesn't mean that you accept this as the status quo. No, when a person's ill, what do you do? Do you watch him ill in front of you? You call the ambulance, you take a person to the hospital to get the cure. So today our ummah is ill, and people are struggling and striving and trying to bring them to the deen. But it's our duty, all of us, compulsory, whichever way, methodology, we're working in our office, we're working at our shops, we're driving the taxi, we're sitting at home, we're retired, there's a halakha, there's a way, there's a methodology of your life. So to sit, go and sit amidst those people who don't pray salah. Go and sit amongst those people who are impure and sinful. Don't think you're good. Don't be stubborn and think you're pure and clean. Go on purpose and sit in the midst of those people who don't pray, who are sinful. Inshallah, in your heart there's the nur of salah, then automatically that nur of salah will go into their hearts. But we don't even sit with those people who we think are away from the deen. We don't even say salam to them. We don't even look at them. I've got a few hairs on my chin, azan's been given, and people are standing in the corner talking. We come to the masjid. And we say, Assalamu alaikum, brother, how are you? You going? You praying? How are you? MashaAllah, how's your health? How's everything? Oh, today's cold. Okay, fine, alhamdulillah. Brother, remember me in your dua. I've got issues. And make that person do dua for you. And that person, if you stop with them for a few minutes, alhamdulillah, will be so great that their hearts will shake. Their hearts will shake. And one day he will see this, 2 days he will see this, 3 days he will see this, and he'll feel ashamed. Fourth day you will give a bit of him. Brother, come on, shall we go to pray? He goes, yeah, let's go, I'll come with you. And this is our duty, not just this, that we become people who pray Salah today and we think we're the best and the greatest. If a brother of ours is at loss, he's not praying, at least he's your brother based on his kalima. Maybe he'll be forgiven and I won't be forgiven. It's not necessary that I am praying and I'll be forgiven and he will not go to Jannah. Brothers, will you make an effort from today? Say inshallah. Start from your home. Start from the friends. Not you pick up the sticks and you start beating the kids. No. Explain to them with love, with sweets and chocolates, and create a love in their hearts and bring them towards the deen. This is the importance of salah. So this is one group I spoke about, who don't even pray salah or are not aware of their salah. So what's the subject we're talking about? Salah. Salah. So then you have another group of people who pray. So you'll see him at Asr, the second group, and you might not see him at Maghrib. You may see him at Maghrib, but maybe you won't see him at Fajr. Maybe once in a blue moon you'll see him at Fajr. Or you will, mashallah, see this group of people, alhamdulillah, mashallah, throughout the whole of Ramadan. And they'll read Eid al-Fitr Salah nicely, and after Eid Salah disappeared. Where's that brother gone? Left and right, I used to see them all through Ramadan. They're not here today. And then he'll come in another Salah after a while. So these are people who sometimes pray. Sometimes come, sometimes go. This is not establishing Salah, is it? Don't pray Salah according to your whims and desires. You're praying Salah according to your nafs, not according to Allah Ta'ala's preference. But we say, oh, mashallah, he's a good brother. I pray Salah. I go to the masjid. When do you go, brother? When I get time, I pray. I've got other things to do in life as well. You can't just be too extreme. Don't be too strict. We've got to pray when we've got time and the facilities and the means to do that, when the time is there, when the health is there. Look, you've got to have time, isn't it? It's not strict, you know, Islam. Yeah, I've got to run the shop. I'm stuck behind the till. So these people are also at loss. They are also at loss, and we have to strive and make effort on these people as well. If, and myself, we are all weak. If we are weak and we practice like this, we pray sometimes, don't pray sometimes, come for one salah, don't come for the next salah. Totally not. Allah Ta'ala says, the ibadah done in my service will only be accepted when it's done in the way I ordered. If it's stated that Fajr Salah, you have to pray before the sunrise, that is Fajr. No, you follow your desires. Okay, today I'll pray Fajr at 12 midday. Oh, at Dhuhr time. What difference does it make? No. The time Allah Ta'ala has apportioned, Allah Ta'ala has made the schedule, and according to that time of the day and the schedule and the plot of time of the day, you have to pray at that time. You can't pray according to your desires. Allah has chosen and given us 5 times salah in the day and given us the time slots for each salah. Allah says, okay, if in this condition you are allowed to leave salah, you can, but if there's no allowance, then you can't. The ulama ikram, the scholars will have explained to you, you can read, there's a person, for example, who's unconscious, or is in extreme danger, or there are other conditions, then maybe there's an excuse. But if you are conscious, and to this extent, Allah Ta'ala says, even if you cannot find water, then due to the barakah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has created the means that the dust and the soil is pure. And so, if you urinate and have this feces in the soil, but when due to the connection of Allah, you put your hands on the dust of the soil, then that becomes like the zamzam water, pure for you to do wudu. And the people who don't believe, they say, what are you doing there? You're clapping your hands on the dust. I just rubbed my shoes on there a few minutes ago. And when you are rubbing your hands on the dust on the soil, I'm rubbing them and dusting on my body for the sake of salah. What do they know? That the condition of this soil has become noor and light, has become the portion of Jannah. He's cleaning his hands and his arms and his body, and he's becoming purified to the heart with this dust and the soil. Aha. So Allah Ta'ala has created the means for us. So what should we do? We pray salah. We have the association and the link with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah says, you are my believer. You've recited the kalama. And I don't want you to lose. Allah Ta'ala says that you don't pray at this time of the day, at this portion of the day. This time will not come again. Science will not bring this time again. Nothing will bring this time again. It's not reversible. Okay, the time is about to run out. You don't have water. I don't want you to have an excuse. I'll give you the soil and the dust of the earth. You can rub your hands on this and purify yourself and do wudu and pray. So you benefit from salah. Allah Ta'ala loves us so much that He gave us tayammum. as the facility to purify ourselves. But the people who pray now and then and have gaps, they are also at loss. That's the meaning of what I was saying. Now we come to the third group. They come, they pray five times a day. They come to Jamaat, congregation prayer in the masjid. MashaAllah. That's good. But they come, they stand for salah, mashallah, all of the arguments at home are in their mind, the shop, the till, the takings, the debts, the loans, relatives, fights and quarrels and friends, everything's hovering around in his mind at that time. His accounts are going through his brain, the spreadsheets flowing through his brain, the cells in the spreadsheet, how much money, the profit, the loss. And then when he closes the shop with the keys, then he says Allahu Akbar and goes into ruku. And he performs the four rakah like this. And this is not the standard of salah, my brothers, that Allah Ta'ala wants for us. Coming and going and up and down. What kind of salah is this? La yuhaddisu fiha. Subhanallah. This is the standard according to the hadith. لَا يُحَدَّسُ فِيهَا نَفْسَهُ. This is what is being told to us. What kind of salah does Allah Ta'ala want? Such a salah we should be praying and performing, a high status prayer. This is what Allah Ta'ala is hoping from us, expecting from us. Allah says, I've given you the will, the ability, you believe in me. Physically you are believers, you believe in the kalima. You believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are great individuals. What ibadah you are doing? Do you know? And you're thinking about the dunya? La yuhaddisu fi, Allah Ta'ala says, nafsihi. All of your salah, every single one of them, five times a day, all your life should be on such a status, on such a level, that when you're praying, you are totally detached from your nafs. You don't have no secondary or tertiary thoughts. Allah says, this is what I require from you. And this is the salah that will be accepted. لا يحدث فيها نفسه, Allah Ta'ala says. Allahu Akbar. And further, Allah Ta'ala goes on to explain, I want such a salah performed by you, that when you pray salah, then your qalb, your heart totally should be prostrating and paying attention to Allah. Totally the tawajjuh, the attention and focus of your heart should be towards Allah. Not your nafs, or you're praying salah for rakah or two rakah, and you're thinking, I'm going to go here after salah, I'm going to meet that person after salah, or that person said to me, or this is how much money I'm owed. And we're talking about dunya, we say we're not talking. Does, tell me, by speaking or talking, does the salah not break? But for the ashikin, even thinking of something that you should be thinking about during salah breaks the salah. According to the ashikin, the lovers, the great people. My friends, if you speak verbally, salah is broken. In the same way, take your salah to that level, you should consider at the same time that when you say Allahu Akbar, everything about the dunya, what's within it, becomes strange for you. No questions arise in your head, no thoughts arise in your head. Totally you bring yourself onto that platform. Allahu Akbar. And your qalb, your heart totally 100% should turn towards Allah. Your heart should be paying attention to Allah, thinking about Allah, focusing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total concentration and focus. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah, have you heard his name? Great Sheikh. He is the head Sheikh of Aqabirin. They were all bayah with him. And his Khalifa Ajal, Muhabbaddin rahmatullahi alayh, a great Sheikh, and the Khalifa of Hazrat Haji Sahib Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayh. And we see, we know this, if I just go to the side again, a person who realizes that I have to, for example, leave here and I have to do this with this person, I have to take a debt from this person, I have to take money from this person. So when he comes out, he leaves the home, for example, he knows I've got to go and get this debt, I'm collecting the money that this person owes me. So he's prepared. And those people who are the believers, who are pious, they knew that they're about to die. They have to depart from this world. They have to meet Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And they know that salah is the key to paradise. Yes, so just like I prepare myself for a worldly action or duty, for example, going to collect the money, my debts are owed to me, in the same way salah, the believer knows when he dies, he goes to the grave, the day of Hashar, Qiyamah, the bridge of Sarat, and what will come in use on every one of those phases is salah. So the true believers knew. So he, rahmatullahi, thought, he was the Khalifa of Hazrat Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi, he sat down and thought, ah, what a great thought, reflecting, pondering. He said that, let me read at least one salah in my life. If one salah of mine is like this, then guaranteed, alhamdulillah, we will be successful. I guarantee you, that one salah will carry us to the success into paradise. How do we pray the salah? I will tell you the method. In every salah we need to try and attempt the one salah in our life we're going to pray that's correct. And inshallah, this is the salah. The next salah I'm going to pray, this is the salah. Allah Ta'ala, one salah in my life I must pray in such a way that it's accepted by you and it takes me to paradise. And I must do this in the next salah. And inshallah, if we do this with every salah, then definitely one salah will come along that will be accepted. So he, Muhabbadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, said, I've become old. I'm frail. I haven't prayed one salah that I think is accepted. At least I should pray one salah correctly so that I've got some nugget for my forgiveness. So he's speaking to his nafs at that time. And he said, totally my attention and focus should be in my salah when I pray. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What passion. What desire he, Rahmatullah Alayhi, had. And look at the difference between his and our passion. We speak about dunya and wealth and money and weddings. We feel taste, enjoyment. We speak about food and dishes. We sit for hours and talk about this. But he was speaking to himself, to his nafs. He said, let me talk about Jannah, paradise, the hoors, the maidens, the meeting with Allah Ta'ala, because the world is about to come thereafter. This world's nothing. Everything's happening behind a veil. It's a joke behind a screen. We're living in deception. So he said, okay, let me now pray a correct salah. So he started his salah, alhamdulillah. And mashallah, he was clean and pure. Great sohbat and connection he had with the shaykh. The greater connection you have, the more you are clean and pure inside. Remember this. So he had the connection with Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah. So he completed his salah, which he had total niyyah to pray in the correct way. So when he completed his salah, because he himself was a shaykh, and he was an elder and pious, he said, Allah, he did dua after his salah. He did dua, he said, Allah, please give me the example of the condition of my salah, Allah. Please allow me to see physically through a vision, the acceptance of my salah through a dream or a vision or kashf. Allah Ta'ala showed that shaykh, that elder, the form and the condition of his salah. So he did dua. So when he finished dua, he saw the condition of his salah in the dream. Subhanallah, such a beautiful woman was standing there. And he couldn't imagine. Every single part of that woman, everything he could see was twinkling and shining, illuminated. And we cannot use the words in this world to describe the form of that beauty of that woman that he saw. This was the reward. So this salah I'm telling you about, this was the salah that he prayed. Subhanallah. So he saw the form and the condition of the reality of Islam. When he looked closely, then his eyes, he couldn't see such a beautiful woman. What did he see? That she was blind. So he said that she is so beautiful, my salah. So why is she blind? So he went to his sheikh and he presented the report. The Hazrat, I prayed before salah, I made a niyyah. I want to pray a sincere and humble salah. I stood and I started to pray. And after praying, I saw this feeling, this condition, I saw this vision. After that, I did dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I asked Allah, Allah ta'ala, please show me the condition of the reality of the acceptance of my salah. So I saw the beautiful woman and I saw that she couldn't see, she was blind. And Hazrat Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Ramdullah kept on listening. He said, but then I was amazed that the woman, her eyes, she couldn't see from that, she was blind. He said, yes, because you prayed salah with your eyes closed. You must have prayed salah with your eyes closed. He, Rahmatullah, said, in fiqh, it is accepted that in salah, if you want to save yourself from the whispering of shaitan and create the khuju and the feeling of passion, that you are allowed to pray salah with the eyes closed. But it's against the sunnah. So your salah was against the way of the sunnah. And this is not your standard. Even this salah, you left the sunnah and prayed this salah so that deficiency was created in your reward. Think on this point, my brothers. If let's look at our salah. How much shame. Is there any salah of mine, of ours, that is according to the sunnah? What a great lesson in this hadith. That only that salah will be accepted which is according to the color, the form, the appearance and the practice of the sunnah. The more the color and the form and the practice of the sunnah is in our salah, the more to be accepted. I say today, I can't do miswak. Why do I need to follow sunnah? My brothers, when you go to pray salah, think. Where are you going? What are you about to do? What action are you about to perform? Are you going to get the reward? The salah will come back to your lap and thrown back to you if it's not accepted. I must make my salah beautiful. Like the bride, she's put the makeup's put on. She goes to the beauty parlor. She's made to look shine. She's made to look attractive. She's got to look very nice. This is an example, isn't it, of the world. Make her more beautiful. Make her more attractive. A person, the people, the helpers, even if she's dark, then they make her look white. Put the foundation on, put more foundation on, make her beautiful, make her look attractive. They do makeup over her, and the powder, the talcum powder, the foundation and the lipstick and everything they put on. So our salah, it may be weak. Just like the woman is made to look attractive, so salah, we need to make it beautiful. What is the makeup? What is the foundation? What is the makeup that your salah can become so beautiful? And that beauty that can be applied to your salah is the sunnah sharifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shaitan says, oh, people will laugh. My friends, either you please the people or you make your salah beautiful. Make your choice. Make your choice. I've told you the hadith, I've told you the event. And how will your salah become beautiful? Through the blessed sunnah practice. One sunnah you practice and come to salah, and you don't fulfill the rest of the sunnah, which are other great sunnahs, then you will get a little bit of reward for salah. The more sunnah practically you bring into your salah, surma, colorium and eyelashes, perfume, totally you make yourself up and go to salah like a bridegroom. Make yourself, totally make yourself up, look beautiful, because you want to get the great reward with beauty and smartness, and do wudu, apply the makeup to yourself, the sunnah makeup, the surma, the khaliriyam, the fragrance on your body, put the olive oil, and then with the beauty and the nice feeling comfort, pray salah and try, make an effort physically, may Allah this salah be the one that is accepted from me in my life, at least once I can pray something good. So brothers, this is a beautiful point that comes here. And another point, another lesson we acquire from what we've just discussed. All of this, how will this become reality? How will all of this become reality, what I've just discussed with you? How will I attain the true, great reality, reward and status and condition of my salah, that my heart totally has to be focused and being paid attention to Allah? The Mufassireen have said that it is apparent that you will be truly successful in this deed when your heart is clean and pure. The more your heart is clean, the more your heart is pure. In the same way, alhamdulillah, inside you, the nur and the light of ibadah will emanate within you. The color of your deeds will start to revolutionize. Allah, when the tawajjah, when the attention of the heart is on the salah, and only then will your heart pay attention to salah, when you work hard and strive and you make effort and you rub it and you correct it and you purify your heart. As a Shaykh Nurullah rahmatullahi writes in Fazail Amal, a beautiful account about the purification and cleaning of the heart, that the Sahaba Ikram, the blessed Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah, why were their hearts clean? Devoid of any impurity, so rock solid and robust and beautiful, because they had the sohbah, the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't need anything else. They didn't need to do dhikr loud and loud. They didn't need to shout out loud. They didn't need to make extra effort and effort upon effort. For this reason, because themselves, they had such a solid and great company, and their hearts were solid and strong. But today we are so far, physically, and also by years and by time and by practice, that from the deen and the way of the Sahaba of Rasulullah, so we need to make more effort, we need to try harder, we need to make solid effort, so that there's no deficiency in our salah, there's no deficiency in our heart. So this gathering of dhikr, this majlis that we gather around, the Sufi Hazrat get together, this is written in Fazail Amal, this is very beneficial for us. For this reason, all the points I've said, that if we want our salah to be successful, then the first thing we have to do is go towards the cleaning of the heart, and do dhikr in abundance, the much as you can do, as much as you can. Hazrat Shaykh Ramdai said that do dhikr as much as you can, dhikr as much as you can, and then you will see how your condition changes. Then the khawf will come, the love of Allah will come, and then in salah the nur and the light will come into your prayer. And not just in your salah, rather in every deed and ibadah and worship action you will do, you will feel the nur and see the nur, and you will feel dislike towards the sins and bad things. So my brothers, we have to correct ibadah. This is the procedure. Where does it start? From the heart. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, this is a very beneficial thing. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, morning and evening, make a routine. Every day, during the day, morning and evening, and during the day, do dhikr, cure yourself, so your salah becomes good, your ibadat becomes good, your worship becomes good, and you start disliking the sins. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the benefit and the will and the ability to practice upon all of the things we've discussed today. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.